Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Rise. Wake up.
It's time to wake on up. Wake up. With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Happy hump day, people. Happy hump day.
Oh, so happy. I'm feeling great this morning. We've got not one, not two, not three, but four playoff games in Major League Baseball today. We've got Thursday Night Football mañana, which, Joe, I don't know if you know that Spanish for tomorrow. That's week six. We got a massive, massive game on Sunday in Tampa. Mac Jones v. Baker Mayfield. We got Todd Bowles v. Kyle Shanahan. It's going to be exciting. We've got Warriors preseason tonight. Warriors-Blazers, by the way, first 10,000 fans at that game at Shea Center get a Steph Curry All-Star Game MVP trophy bobblehead. So be there or be square. Hey, Bay Area's popping right now. We're still doing our Giants managerial search if you're Buster Posey. A lot happening in the Bay Area. And Joe, I want to start off here because it's not often we open up talking, you know, playoff baseball when the local team's not a part of it. It's just, you know, what do the Detroit Tigers mean to the greater Bay Area? Not a lot.
It's the place that we swept.
There you go. That's about it. Or
Ryan Terrio scoring in extra innings.
Okay, maybe that's the wrong team. How about the Seattle Mariners? They mean nothing here. Okay.
There's not a lot.
There you go. The Toronto Blue Jays. A young Joe.
Although I did go to a Jose Cruz Jr., Ken Griffey Jr. game in 1997 or 98, which was my first interleague game, to see the kid,
okay.
Griffey.
And that was pretty cool for a young Joe.
Yeah,
you'll never
not
forget
knowing
that.
Jose Cruz Jr. would eventually be the right fielder for the Giants, get a gold glove, and drop a ball in foul territory in the playoffs to lose to the Marlins. After we were the wire-to-wire NL West champs.
So, yeah, it still hurts.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Well,
Felipe, I mean, Jason Schmidt, I'm still mad at him.
The Mariners won yesterday. They're up 2-1 in their series against the Tigers. They await, if they win today, the winner of the Yankees-Blue Jays series. Toronto leads that 2-1. They were up 5 runs at one point yesterday, though. They were up 5, and it was looking like a sweep. But the Yankees came back. And Arson, a.k.a. Aaron Judge himself, Joe, with a 3-run bomb. We've all heard about it. If you haven't been paying attention, New York crushing this guy, the national media crushing this guy as a playoff choker. And that's what I want to start off today. It's not baseball specific. It's not a certain sport. It's all encompassing. Exercising playoff demons. I love that Aaron Judge was able to do that. I'm not a Yankee fan. I always liked their uniforms. I always wanted to like be a Yankee like when it came to Little League because I thought their uniforms were cool, but I have like no allegiance to the team itself. I was just happy for the guy because that is a tough market to try to satisfy. They are used to titles. The New York Yankees are synonymous with Americana. They are what people think about overseas. Oh, the Yankees. You see all the New York hats. It's everything. They are synonymous with American sports. And he is the face of that. So he had all the pressure on him in the world. Obviously, coming off last season, the blunders in the World Series, Joe. And it's one game. And they might lose today, and then people forget about it. But for one night, Joe, he was able to exercise his playoff demons. So it leads me to this question to you, as I say good morning to you. Who else needs to exercise some playoff demons in sports? I'm going to leave that open-ended at 888-957-9570.
You know, it's so interesting how we do the math on these things. Just in general, like, who's a great playoff performer and who's not? It really is interesting. For example, Aaron Rodgers got a Super Bowl almost early in his career and then just evaded criticism for like a decade and a half when he would come up short in the playoffs time and time and time again. And it doesn't feel like we talk about him the same way we do, let's just say, a Dak Prescott, who statistically has been worse than Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs, but also feels like he can't get out of his own way. Now, we would all agree, Aaron Rodgers way more talented than Dak Prescott.
I would agree with that.
Look at like all his losses in the playoffs. He loses to lesser quarterbacks and lesser teams over and over and over again. The Niners were at the top of so many of those losses.
I was gonna say, he lost to Jimmy Garoppolo multiple times.
Kaepernick twice. He lost to Tom Brady when they should have went for it, and he leaned on LaFleur to punt the ball away, which was the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
You never lean on LaFleur.
He lost when he had a big lead to Russell Wilson, right? I mean, he had so many. But he gets that early Super Bowl, and it's like none of that other stuff mattered.
And he gets all the MVPs on top of it, of course. Similarly, Brett Favre, it's almost like a parallel with their careers. It's pretty interesting, actually, right?
Steve Young was kind of the reverse. Steve Young, you know, he looked not even close to the Steve Young that he was in the regular season, back-to-back playoffs in 92 and 93, specifically in the biggest games. Now, the samples are so small, you know, you have a couple hiccups, your season's over. Barry Bonds had so many, but Steve Young ended up winning a Super Bowl and, you know, got that monkey off his back, which is the famous, saying that he had as he's on the sidelines.
That's classic.
And they hung on for dear life against the Cowboys. Barry Bonds started off his career with just awful playoff performances. But if you look at the numbers, like, yeah, the batting average isn't that bad. Like, I'm looking at him right now, you know, in 92, he did bat 261. He did hit a home run. He did have six hits. In a seven-game series, it's not bad, but he really broke out in 2002, but they lost the World Series.
Yeah.
So he's remembered as kind of a playoff choker. You know, James Harden is a guy who I put in a similar category to Bonds, not necessarily equal greatness, but regular season, amazing. Come playoff time, he seems to not be able to replicate that. Chris Paul, same thing.
Mm.
LeBron, for a long time, had a lot of the Steve Young stuff. He comes up short in the clutch until he didn't, right?
Yep.
You're talking about the current athletes?
Correct.
Harden's getting up there in age, but I still think you could put Harden in this book.
Oh, after last first round when it went to seven games against the Denver Nuggets, he came up very short, which was, you know, we were talking about it because that last game against the Warriors, he looked incredible. The overtime, Joe, he was taking over.
I think the equivalent in the NFL right now, more than Josh Allen, is Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at the stats, everyone, oh, Josh keeps losing. He has one of the greatest touchdown to interception ratios in playoff history. And he's actually dynamic in the playoffs. His team just loses for a variety of reasons.
Mahomes is just that guy that Brady was for all those other
and
teams
can
for so
McDermott
long.
Get a stop?
Exactly.
You know, but Lamar does not replicate the success statistically in the playoffs that he does in the regular season. And I think, you know, I look at baseball and I look at football because the samples are so small. You play 162 games in baseball, you have a four-game stretch that stinks, you're in trouble.
Well, I think of Lamar, it's a good one. We're talking about exercising playoff demons here on the Morning Roast. Spadoni and Shasky, 888-957-9570 is the number to get involved. You can call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Aaron Judge, huge performance yesterday to stave off elimination for the New York Yankees against the Toronto Blue Jays in the ALDS. You know what? We pulled the sound, and I want to play it, Joe, because when we pull sound, let's play it. I don't think I'll play this any other time. Aaron Judge's three-run home run yesterday.
Two-strike pitch. Hits a drive.
Joe Davis on the call, Fox Sports. Great call there. Joe Davis, I love on the baseball broadcast. He's really good, obviously, on NFL as well with Greg Olson. And that tied the game. And that was his moment yesterday. And again, just for a night. Now it's going to be do it again because you got to stave off elimination. The last thing you want is to lose your division rival Toronto Blue Jays, even though this is the first time they've ever met in the playoffs. But it's funny you bring up Lamar Jackson talking about exercising playoff demons because it's true. His first two losses, I believe, in his first two playoff appearances was to one old man, Philip Rivers, and the then San Diego Chargers. And then it was to Ryan Tannehill. And I know it was Derrick Henry, really, because he dominated. But, those are the quarterbacks you're losing to. And those are the teams you're losing to. The Chargers and the Titans. Not like it's the Chiefs, and it eventually would be the Chiefs. And then eventually would be the Bills. But, yeah, whether we like it or not, we're going to label him like that. And
Peyton Manning was that way for a long time.
And by the way, I'm glad you bring up Peyton Manning because we're going to have his former head coach on, Tony Dungy, at 8 o'clock.
So I always bring this guy up, and he seems to be – I think he's too controversial. He's good. He's not great. I don't love this price tag. But when you're going to look back, he's going to hold every Cowboy record of all time. Dak Prescott.
Yeah. Dak is a good one.
Dak is a good player. We talk about him like he's a scrubbini. He's not.
No.
He's just not. You know that he's about to pass Joe Montana in the next couple of years for yardage?
That's actually pretty insane. And it's a passing league now, so
it's totally different.
We're going to see that. Eli Manning's up there, and I don't think of him as one of the greatest passers ever. But he's up there.
I'm just saying.
I know.
You have to play a long time to be able to accumulate those numbers.
I always defended Dak Prescott because
I'm not a Dak lover, by the way.
No, for sure. Nor am I. But he gets you to the playoffs. That's
my
point. If he stays healthy,
he
almost always gets you there. For a team I've rooted for my whole life that never makes the playoffs, I don't sleep on things like that. He can get you there. Now, what does he do after it? That remains to be seen. And he'll like to exercise some playoff demons. But as you mentioned, Peyton Manning was like that forever.
A lot of guys have been.
Even the year he won, they won the whole damn thing. It wasn't like he was super impressive in the playoffs still. It was Tom Brady throwing an interception on the final drive that happened. Yeah. It was the Colts defense stepping up. It was the Colts defense stepping up against an awful Rex Grossman. And I still say, Joe, if there's any other quarterback of that Bears team, they're probably winning it down in Miami in the rain. Devin Hester, that kickoff return was so sick. And again, I mentioned earlier, Tony Dungy, who was a Super Bowl champion coach in that game, joining us at 8 o'clock, Hall of Famer head coach and former Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach, obviously, Joe, as the 49ers taking on the Bucs. Anyone in the Bay currently that you need to see exercise, if they get back to the playoffs, exercise some demons, you think?
Well, I mean, obviously, Kyle Shanahan.
That's the obvious one.
Here's the part that always...
He's won so many big games,
That's the part that bugs me.
Yeah.
We do this thing because you didn't win it all at the very, very end, that we dismiss all the big wins along the line, like none of those other ones matter, and it just can't be... It honestly makes me angry when I feel for him. Is Fred Warner a loser because they haven't won it all? Is Patrick Willis a loser because he didn't win it all? Frank Gore's a loser because he didn't win it all?
No.
Think of how we do the math in these sports. Was Tony Gwynn a loser?
Hell no.
Yeah, he didn't win anything. And he went to a World Series one time.
Baseball's so interesting because you could have a Tony Gwynn or in our generation, a Mike Trout, right, that never won anything. But they're Hall of Famers.
Even Roger Clemens was a playoff loser till he ended up going to the Yankees.
Yep.
It is called the big one for a reason, though. Just saying.
What big one?
You have to win the big one.
Win the big one. Yeah, no, it's true. And you can think of in golf and tennis, there's a lot of examples.
Let me push back on this.
Push back.
Yes, and there's something magical and special about it, right? There really is. There's no doubt about it. some guys just rise to the occasion. Like, I was thinking about Jalen Hurts, right? And Jalen Hurts is just, I don't know what to make of him sometimes. But I do know this. In a huge game, I'm probably not going to bet against him.
No.
Because he's got, like, a mad bum-like quality where he rises to the occasion and becomes significantly better in these big one-off games, playoffs, national championship, whatever it might be, than he does during the regular season. Mad Bum wasn't a great regular season pitcher, but, you know, big game, I'm putting the ball in his hands. I know I was arguing with Evan about this, but you know, in my generation, Curt Schilling, Andy Pettit. Now, I don't think they're Hall of Famers. Curt Schilling, maybe, you know, maybe more, way more so than Andy Pettit. But in a big game, I know that guy's going to give me seven innings and hand the ball to my bullpen, and I probably have the lead.
For the 510 and the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorney's Text Line, the 49ers need to exercise the demons as a whole.
Wow.
The entire franchise. But in fairness, like, I think of playoff shortcomings as guys that just get into the playoffs and just crumble immediately.
Well, I think James Harden is a great example.
Yes.
James Harden just cannot replicate the regular season success in the playoffs. Can he?
No. I don't know why it is.
Well, I'll tell you why. It's because the style of play in the playoffs is different. When you are game planning in a seven-game series to slow someone down as opposed to a one-off. See, this is where the NBA, it's so funny.
But as a six-man, he played well in the playoffs. When he was at the Thunder. I know it's a different role than we all
He was
remember.
20.
I know. But
he's
I'm just saying,
35
I've seen it happen. So it's not like, it might just be more mental than anything.
Joe, I think Ryan Russillo is a great example of someone who watches every single regular season basketball game and for the life of him cannot understand that in a seven-game series, when you are looking at the video and the whiteboard and you are strategically slowing down every single set, that if you're an ISO player who plays with the ball in your hand until the last 4 seconds of a shot clock, you are infinitely more easy to guard in a seven-game series than a, hey, I flew in for one night. We barely did a walkthrough. We kind of have, you know, like a 40-minute, you know, presentation on how to defend you tonight. Not, we are maniacally thinking about how to stop you every single game.
He was
Tracy McGrady, same thing.
Well, this was his game log for going James Harden. Right now we're talking about exercising playoff demons as Aaron Judge, who has been very poor in the playoffs with the New York Yankees, had a 3-run home run to tie the game yesterday after being down 5 runs. Yankees extending that series in the ALDS against the Blue Jays. Who else needs to exercise playoff demons currently? You can bring up some past guys, too, that never were able to, like Greg Norman's of the world. If you want to go individual sports, golf, I always think
that's
of.
That's a good one.
He won 2 majors, but he left a lot on the table.
Phil was that way forever.
Phil?
You know, it's just, I find the NBA is so funny because unlike the other sports, you have these regular season teams, right? Again, it's one-offs.
Yeah.
Whereas in the playoffs, it's a completely different sport. It's a seven-game series. At least in baseball, you know, a seven-game series is not equivalent to a 3 or 4-game series that you would have, but it's more equivalent. There's almost nothing that is replicable about the postseason for the regular season of the NBA.
This was James Harden's game log in the playoffs last year.
I mean, they don't even officiate the same way.
Well, James Harden game one, it was overtime. Remember, it was an incredible game. They lost to the Denver Nuggets. He was 11 of 22, 4-9 from beyond the arc, 32 points. It was great. Second game, they won. Third game, they won. The Clippers were up 2-1 in this series.
Joe, who wins in the playoffs?
The better players and better team, usually?
No, the better teams.
Okay.
Not the best player.
But generally...
Actually, it's a false...
Well, the Denver Nuggets did have the best player in that series, though. And that was the difference.
Okay. Nikola Jokic. Teams win and lose.
Like, correct.
That's what makes a seven-game series in the NBA so unique.
But in the NBA, the cream almost always rises. And the best collection of players almost... Yeah, the Oklahoma City Thunder were the best collection of players, easily. And that's why they won the whole damn thing.
Yeah, because they're a team, but...
Yes, I'm saying it's a collection. Yes, to your point, it's not like... A team like I never thought the New York Giants were the best team in the NFL.
Joe,
when they won
their
two.
Teams win and lose.
I know.
LeBron James, there's an argument to be made. He was the best player for 17 straight years. And
yes.
He's got, what, 4 championships?
Yes.
Right? So, like, teams win and lose. That's who wins. Especially, I mean, gosh, if anyone should know this, it would be Warrior fans. Like, we put together yes, Steph Curry is individually amazing. Absolutely amazing. Teams win and lose, top to bottom. We know how difficult it is. You need 7 guys, 8 guys humming. And even then, you're maybe only going to get 3 or 4 that are humming on any given night.
By the way, shout out to those watching on YouTube and getting involved there. You can comment all day long. We are streaming. You can see these beautiful faces for the next 4 hours. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And as always, we are coming live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Speaking of playoff shortcomings, there's a team here in the Bay that has a whole hell lot of them. They are trying to overcome that playoff hump. They're actually just trying to get back to the playoffs. All right, this is called the Tees, people. Shout out Townie. We're going to have the head coach of that team on the other side because, Joe, we're the Bay Area's sports station. We talk about it all, South Bay included. And that's coming up next, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't? Well, maybe Ryan Warsawski, head coach of your San Jose Sharks, can help you out with that as he joins us now on the River Islands guest line. Coach, good morning. Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky. Season getting underway officially tomorrow, the regular season. And I want to ask you this. What should fans' expectations be of this squad? Obviously, there's a lot of young talent trying to mix in some vets there. The name everyone gravitates towards is the young phenom, the guy everyone's calling the next Sidney Crosby, Macklin Celebrini. Everyone's obviously enamored with this kid. His father, Rick, obviously team doctor for the Warriors, all of that. But what should fans expect from this team this upcoming season, Coach?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. I think we look back at last year, we were definitely a more competitive hockey team. We were in games. You look at the numbers and the stats, it's 13 games going into the third period with a one-goal lead that in eight of them we don't get a point in. So I think the next step for us is to finish those games, create, those are wins. We've added some veteran pieces, like you said. Another year of Mac and Will, being more comfortable. We've added some another couple young guys. So we're definitely seeing the light at the end of the tunnel here of this rebuild. We still have some work to do. It's going to be a process to get to how we want to play. A lot of new players, but there's definitely a real excitement. Our guys are ready. It's been a long training camp, and we're excited for tomorrow night.
Coach, this is really cool. I didn't know much about you, quite frankly, and just doing a quick little Google search. So are you a Boston guy? You rooted for the Red Sox and the Pats and all that? Am I on the money on that?
Yeah, you're on the money with that. I think growing up in the Boston area, everyone's diehard Red Sox, diehard Patriots, especially you guys know Tom Brady from being out here.
Oh, yeah.
The Tom Brady era growing up in that era was pretty special when you put on a game on a Sunday and you almost knew you were going to win. So obviously it's a special place being from there, but my family's here. We love it here. You know, there's some similarities with the Bay Area and the sports and Boston. So it kind of brings me back, and this is my West Coast home.
I love that. Now, look, 37 years old, and you're in your second year already. I mean, you really got into coaching at an early age. I mean, you're like the Sean McVay of hockey right here. I mean, how did you get into coaching?
Yeah, you know, I played in college, and I was close with Mike Sullivan, who's now the coach of the New York Rangers, with his family. He was coaching, at the time, the Boston Bruins when I was in high school. And I would kind of go in there and poke his brain and talk to him and sit down with him. And we get into our discussions about hockey. And I kind of just fell in love with it. And I kind of, you know, I'm probably a little bit different than some coaches in the National Hockey League that, you know, have these long careers in the NHL and then get into coaching on a whim. I just kind of knew I wanted to do it at a young age. And I've been very fortunate and lucky to get, you know, on a quick rise to the National Hockey League so soon. And, you know, I'm obviously humbled to be the coach of the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, you seem like a really good dude. And obviously we're all pulling for you, but to be the steward, if you will, of Macklin Celebrini's kind of incubation period in the NHL, I mean, how difficult of a task is that for you? I mean, there's a lot that that goes into it. I mean, he's probably the most recognizable face around here since Joe Thornton.
Yeah, for sure. And he's a special human being first. I know we all put a hockey label on him, but he is a human. He goes through his tough days and, he's still a young kid and he's learning the game. He's learning, what it means to be a professional athlete, how to take care of yourself. And he's, you know, a very self-driven kid. He's ultra competitive. He's obviously raised by two, you know, his parents who raised him really well and his sister and brother. You know, they're just a great family. You couldn't ask for a better player to kind of build your team around. And, you know, there's times we push him and challenge him, and there's times we have to be there to help him and hug him and support him. And, but they're both, you know, I put Will Smith in that category as well. They're both very special individuals that we're super lucky to have on our team.
Talking to Ryan Warsawski, Sharks head coach here on the Morning Rose, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. You mentioned it, you know, Macklin's dad, Rick Celebrini, the director of sports medicine with the Golden State Warriors. Obviously, we're the flagship of the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, last year, Ryan, we saw Draymond Green at some games. He knows Macklin very well. Have you met Draymond, or has he spoken to the team at all?
No, Draymond has been to some games. I know that. And Steph, I met Steph last year. He came to a game. You know, I know Mac talks to those guys, you know, quite often. It was pretty cool to see those guys in the room. And I know guys have gone up and seen some games there and hung out with the players. And, you know, Draymond's got that little bit of that hockey from Michigan, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's got a little hockey in him. I know he loves the, you know, you're just listening to him. And I'm not a huge basketball guy, but listen to Steve Kerr. And, you know, I try to learn and get better and, you know, listen to Steve and what he's done with that team. And obviously, the championships and all that comes with it. But then you listen to Draymond and the ultra competitiveness that he drives, the standard for that team. And that's something that we're trying to get to.
You know, you reference Will Smith and Celebrini and you got Eklund as well, all on the same line. Is that somebody you've been experimenting with at practice? Are we going to see that in some games? That's what our producer over here, Sam, he's like obsessed with you guys. Every single day we give him a couple of minutes to break down where the Sharks are at. So are you going to try that, those three guys on the same line this year?
We'll see. I don't know if we're going to start that way. We know we have that in our back pocket a little bit with some chemistry. We have more depth this year than ever, and especially in my 4 years here in San Jose. So we're going to try to build some depth and build some chemistry with some other lines so we can kind of equalize our lineup here a little bit. But we know at times if we need to go to that, we can. Will we get to that at some point sooner rather than later? We'll see. But, you know, Mac and Will will start off playing together, which I know everyone wants to know, but they will start playing together and we'll see. And in hockey, it's pretty fluid. You can change pretty often and throughout the game. So you may see some shifts with Eklund and Mac and that 70s line there and even to Toffoli there a little bit.
Ryan Warsawski, excuse me, here on the Morning Roast, Sharks head coach. And, you know, here in the Bay, Ryan, we have a lot of good head coaches, both currently and legacy-wise. You just think of some of the names, Bruce Bochy of the world, John Madden, Bill Walsh. Currently, Kyle Shanahan's right up there amongst some of the best coaches in the NFL. Steve Kerr, obviously. I want to ask you, being so young, and just this just being your second season as a head coach in the National Hockey League, Like, what's been the biggest transition for you as a head coach? Like, what's been the most difficult thing to adapt? Is it just, you know, bringing your family over here? Is it dealing with a young roster? You know, this team has, you know, been one of the worst teams win-loss-wise the last kind of decade or so. You know, and the expectation prior to that was, you know, playoffs every single year. And I know fans, you know, are champing at the bit to get back into the playoffs. But what's the biggest transition for you as a head coach, Ryan?
Yeah, I would, you know, I think it's, there's probably two things that stick out to me. Is one is off the ice. You know, in the National Hockey League, you get pulled in a lot of different directions. You know, your plan and practice is game prep. You have a bigger staff than, you know, you have in the minor leagues. There's media obligations every day and sometimes twice a day on game days that pull you away. So managing your time is super important as a head coach that I've learned in the National Hockey League. And I'll feel like I'm more comfortable in my second year. And part two of that is, of course, you know, I'm ultra competitive. I'm a passionate guy. I'm fiery. You know, winning and we don't win keeps me up at night. And I know it does for our players and our general manager and our organization. And we are pushing as hard as we possibly can to win more hockey games for the fans, for the community, for everyone in the Bay Area. We know how important it is. We know what it was like back in 2016 when that Shark Tank was rocking. I've heard all the stories about it. And trust me when I say this, it'd be one of the greatest moments of my life to get this team back into the playoffs and see that Shark Tank rocking and using it really as a big home ice advantage, which they really did, you know, in those, you know, mid-2000, 2010 to 2016, where they really got it going. So we got to keep pushing. It doesn't happen overnight. We got to keep building and work on our process. But we know we're getting closer here as the season begins.
All right, Coach, and we're going to do a quick rapid fire before we get on out of here. We do it with all our guests.
Yeah.
All right, rapid fire. Don't think twice. Just have some fun with these. You're at La Okay. Vix. What are you ordering? What's your burrito order? Give it to us.
Steak burrito, guac, no sour cream, no tomatoes, though.
Love okay. it.
All right, strong.
Favorite artist, music.
Ooh, Bruce Springsteen.
There you go. All right. Worst dresser on the team of all the players. Throw him right under the bus.
Mario Ferraro.
Oh, the Italian? Come on.
Who is the least likely that you would want dating your daughter or sister?
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Loaded question.
Probably, it is a loaded question.
I may have to go back to Mario Ferraro.
All right. Who's got the most drip off the field, off the ice, excuse me, if you will? Who's got the most fashion sense?
Ryan Reeves.
Oh, I love that. Who shouldn't start a podcast? Because so many guys got podcasts. Who would be the guy that you'd be the most afraid having a daily podcast?
Probably Macklin and Will.
Joe, you got one more?
No, that's great. We're up against it, Ryan. That's really good stuff, man.
We really appreciate
the time this morning. I know it's early for you. Season starts tomorrow against the Golden Knights, and that rivalry is going to start getting renewed here very quickly, Ryan.
Yes.
Let you know, Ryan, we don't like those guys, okay? I'm sure you know that.
We don't either.
Okay, good. All right.
I'm right there with you.
Let's go. Hey, Ryan, good stuff. Good luck this season.
I grew up in the Red Sox Yankees.
Oh, well, that. Come on.
We'll get the rivalry growing.
All right. Are you still bitter about the loss last week?
That was
tough. How you feeling?
Oh, no.
A little bit. And then the kid that pitched was from Boston. Unbelievable.
Hey, don't worry. Drake May's looking good, so Patriots season now.
Yeah,
so you can look forward to that. They're 3-2. Hey, Ryan.
Yeah, exactly.
Good stuff, man. We appreciate
it. Have a good one, Coach.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
you too. Thanks, guys.
That is Ryan Warsofsky, head coach of your San Jose Sharks, who, again, joined us on the River Islands guest line. We'll react to that. Plus, we got another head coach, a Hall of Famer in the NFL, Super Bowl champion Tony Dungy at 8 o'clock.
Joe, 37 years old that guy is.
You're
37. He's in his second year.
He's in between us, age-wise. He's a millennial, Joe.
I hate you. You're so young.
Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And that does make a difference for these guys that are going to be without a lot of sleep. And I do think it's, we kind of hype that up a little too much when it comes to the sleep narrative and all that. But when I look at this game, how could you not just go right to the quarterbacks? You just have to go to what Baker's doing right now. He's on all of our TVs right now. Get up. Doesn't matter. First Take, you know, Fox Sports. Everyone's talking about Baker Mayfield. It's week five. You don't crown an MVP yet. But if you were to, he'd probably be that guy.
I think a lot of people are putting out a lot of, you know, content right now, and they're picking who their MVPs are. And it's just, this is what we do. It's natural. We're about a third of the way through the season. And Baker Mayfield tends to be a lot of people's trendy selection. And it's really wild. I'm seeing all these videos of him with the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, some people might have believed in him when he came out of Oklahoma. Some people might have been totally out on him just because he was arrogant. But it did feel like he fell flat on his face. And, you know, I've said this over and over again. Joe Montana is the more superior quarterback, hands down, as a player. But Steve Young's the guy I relate to more. And the reason why I relate to Steve Young more is because, you know, he was a high draft pick. He went to the USFL. The league folded. He went to Tampa and just got his teeth kicked in and hit his career bottom and completely face planted in the NFL. And then he gets traded for, I believe, a second-round pick to the 49ers. And he's got to back up Joe Montana. At the time, they didn't even know Joe Montana was going to be able to come back from back surgery. And I read his book over and over, and his story is just so relatable because he had to fight for every single thing he got. And he had to sit and he had to wait his turn. And he, I believe, pushed Montana to some of his great years. 88, they were going back and forth, yo-yoing in the lineup for about 6-7 weeks till Bill Walsh finally made a decision. 89, probably one of his best years. 90, definitely his best year, as he was the MVP. I'm talking about Joe Montana. And then he goes down and he misses multiple years. And then Steve gets his opportunity and he just runs with it. And then he ends up losing to the Cowboys. And so where I'm getting at is that failing and failing and failing and then pulling yourself up from the bootstraps and finally hoisting the ultimate prize. I love that redemption arc. And I'm seeing around the league right now, there are a lot of guys right now getting second, third, and fourth opportunities who are succeeding. I know Geno Smith stinks right now, but Geno did have a heck of a little run for the last couple of years.
He did. He did.
You know, and say what you want.
They won 10 games last year in Seattle.
Joe, he's going to be a 15-year NFL player.
Yeah.
That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Considering he's a flame out.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold signed the deal and took his spot in Seattle. I think most people would have bet that Sam Darnold's career was probably holding a clipboard for the rest of it.
Same draft class as Baker.
Baker Mayfield. How many teams was he on before he went to Tampa?
Three. Rams, Panthers, and Browns.
And Darnold and Baker were backups on the Panthers at the same time.
I know. It's pretty incredible. Matt right. Rhule.
You know, there's other people throughout the league, like Danny Dimes right now, who's probably comeback player of the year. I didn't think he was good. Actually, I thought he sucked. And
he had a playoff win under his belt. He did.
I know. And I'm thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I was wrong. Maybe he's more talented. Maybe he is better. But he's clearly in the right situation. So I'm thinking about it right now, and I'm saying to myself two things. Number one, Are we evaluating quarterbacks properly as a country? Number two, are we understanding the context of the situations that they inherit and the places that they go?
I think we are becoming more aware and we are becoming better as a society when it comes to talking about quarterbacks and the situations they go into. And we're starting to go at the organizations a little bit more. In the past, Joe, it felt like, even like a decade ago, if a quarterback just flamed out, oh, it's because he stinks. It's his fault. It's not the organization. This guy was clearly in over his head. They shouldn't have drafted him in this spot. It's all the player. I think we're slowly beginning to realize that, yeah, it's probably a combination of both, but a lot of it has to be on the organization, putting them in a position to succeed. And that means the right players, the right coaching staff, the right, I don't know, if you have sports doc therapists, whatever it is, putting the right structure around these guys immediately is going to pay off. You mentioned Baker, a guy we just saw and talked about yesterday, Trevor Lawrence, same thing.
Yeah, he looks like, a lot better.
A lot better. It matters. Now, there are still players. Like, I look at, like, two in particular that are two of the biggest busts in the history of the NFL, still might be the top two. It's Ryan Leaf and Jamarcus Russell. I don't care what organization those guys were going to, they were going to be busts.
Well, they had mental and alcohol/drug dependency issues that are going to, they're going to ruin any career in any industry. There's
gonna,
specifically in the football, yes.
There are always going to be examples like that, where it's more self-sabotage than it is organizational sabotage.
If I were to weigh it, I would argue, even if I removed quarterback position, I think there are more players in the NFL who are done dirty by the circumstance and situation of an organization than are flat out can't play football.
I almost always now, Joe, blame the organization and not the player. Almost always.
So, like, I'm for a minute, I know we're going to get to Mac Jones here in a second, but Eric Armstead and Jimmy Ward, are those good football players?
I'd say yes, they are.
There was a long time I did not think either was a good football player. They were in the wrong system. Was Eric Armstead a 3-4 D tackle? A 3-4 D end? Was he a 4-3 defensive tackle? Was he a 4-3 D end? Was he a wide nine guy? Was he like an inside? Was he a five technique? Like, what was he?
Felt like a tweener sometimes. We didn't know what he was.
No idea. But I know this. He fit Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryan's system pretty damn well.
Yeah.
And that was years after I was convinced he sucked.
Yeah.
Jimmy Ward. Is he a safety? Is he a corner? Is he a slot guy? What is he? Is he a Tampa 2 guy? Is he a single high safety? What is he? Oh, I kind of know that Robert Saleh found a way to make him really, really useful. He made a lot of money, and he stuck around in the league a long time. And he was with D'Amico Ryans after that, and I know he's got some stuff off the field, but yeah. I was convinced both guys sucked. All right? Now that I'm thinking back on it, it probably was more Tom Sula sucked. And Chip Kelly sucked, and they were an organization in complete chaos in 2017 and 2018 as they were building it back up.
I think the perfect litmus test for all this is what we're seeing with the San Francisco 49ers right now, Mac Jones, what we've seen in the past when it comes to some of these head coaches that just know quarterback play inside and out, and have just become bastions of like a savior almost, like Kevin O'Connell. Like, what he's been able to do with the likes of Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold, and we'll see with Carson Wentz. It's early.
We'll see with J.J. McCarthy.
Exactly. We'll see with both of them.
He might just not be good right now.
And that might be the case.
Yeah, might take him 4 or 5 years, or he might never be good.
Exactly.
Like Trey Lance, who knows? Maybe it would have took 5 straight years of starting to be good. Maybe he'll just never be good.
And you know what? I'm glad you bring up Trey Lance because, you know, Bonte was in studio with us, as he is each and every Tuesday from 8 to 10, and he kind of talked about it when he gained a lot of respect for Shanahan as a head coach and how he spoke about his players and the whole Trey Lance. After they traded him, he's like, you know what? I failed Trey. I will be the first one to own that. I did not put him in a great position to succeed, and I will own that. And you know what? That could have been a move that costed him his career in San Francisco. Kyle Shanahan, that is. But they stumbled upon Brock Purdy. They got him. The rest is history, right? But I agree with Bonte when it came to like my respect level for Shanahan, just owning that. Because we don't do that a lot in society. We have a lot more of the Brian Flores talking smack about Tua and vice versa. Like, no, it was his fault. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. We have a lot more finger pointing than just owning in society today. So when head coaches like Kyle Shanahan say, you know what? I'll own that one. My bad. I whiffed on that. That is how you endear yourself to fan bases. And that is why this whole story of Mac Jones I'm loving right now, and it might turn back into a pumpkin. We'll see. He's 3-0 right now. How could you not love what Mac Jones is doing with the San Francisco 49ers after everyone wrote this guy off? Everyone wrote him off.
Joe.
People still might be.
If I put Tom Brady in his prime on the Carolina Panthers to start last year, I'm not sure they win 7 games.
I think you could put Patrick Mahomes on that team currently, and it's... Same.
I mean, I do love Tat, but
come on.
I know. Like, that's what I'm saying.
I love Hunter Renfrow, and he's their wide receiver too right now, basically.
You know, so how can I make an evaluation on Bryce Young? Like, there's times I like him. There's times I don't know. There's times I'm intrigued. There's times I'm baffled by his decision making. But can we all agree, Carolina's kind of a dumpster fire?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So if he went to, I'm just going to throw some. If he went to LaFleur. Is there anybody who thinks that Bryce Young wouldn't be solid? I'm not saying great.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.